This is a recording of Dr. Tom Roszell for Sunday, June 12, 2017. You can listen to this program live every Sunday afternoon from 12 noon to 1 p.m. right here on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed on this program are not the views of 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Roszell Live by Dr. Tom Roszell, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Roszell Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Roszell Live. This is Dr. Tom Roszell Live in studio, waiting to take your calls on whatever you'd like to talk about. You know, perhaps you've had a problem, you've tried, you've applied. Guess what? Doesn't work, does it? Well, here's an opportunity. Call me, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Let's talk about you today. Figure out what we can do. It's hot outside. It's like 90-plus degrees and getting warmer. So make sure you drink lots and lots of water and take it cool. Don't do anything silly like go out and try to exercise in the middle of the day, because it's not going to work so good. You're not going to feel good. So find a mall to walk in, you know, someplace that's cool. That's after you listen to the program. My guest in studio, your host this Wednesday evening, the 14th at the Roszell Center for Healing, none other than Dr. Stephanie Pino. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, listen, it's easy because, you know, if I'm not nice to you all the time, then when I leave town, I don't have anybody to do the program.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up too.
Yeah, I know. I figured that I'd get that thrown at me today, you know, considering that what my schedule looks like for the rest of summer.
Yeah.
And we have to talk about another date too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, we're going to talk about a really interesting problem that is inherent into Western culture. And even though that we think, when I tell people about what it is, that it's really a female condition, there's this thing called IMS. And we'll talk about that as well. But we're talking about premenstrual syndrome. So anybody, any woman who is menstruating or going into from, you know, beginning until the age that, you know, they're going into menopause, they come up with a whole bushel basket worth of symptoms and problems. And, you know, most sites that you go into will talk about there's over 150 different symptoms. But if I simply said, you know, people are sad, or they, you know, they get angry, or they're irritable, or they have aggression, they have anxiety, they have mood swings, low sex drive, you know, withdrawal from family and friends. It sounds like male problem.
Well, you know, maybe I don't think it really matters if it's male or female. But I do have to say that, well, a lot of women suffer from PMS or the symptoms of it, because it's not you know, it's not a real disorder. You know, it's a group of symptoms that are all linked together. And unfortunately, there's such a negative stigmatism around it that even women, you know, just assume sometimes they have PMS because everyone else does. Or it's that time of the month, and so it doesn't explain why they have hormonal or emotional changes. So I think men and women, to some extent, are going to experience those hormonal changes and have to be able to deal with it. And it's going to come and go and fluctuate the way normal cycles would.
You know, when we were taking a look at this topic and, you know, in preparation and presenting, we came up with something called IMS, or irritable male syndrome. And we were laughing about it, but the truth of it is that men go into this flux, and why they do that is simply because it's a hormonal shift. And that's what we're really talking about with women, is a hormonal shift that's causing these things. And in Western culture, we see it far more than any other place in the world, simply because of the fact of our lifestyles, our exposures, and things that happen. This is truly a structural, chemical, emotional paradigm. And when you evaluate hormonal function with women, and it can be very bad, it can be very bizarre. I mean, into the far reaches of this problem, women really can become, and I say this with respect, ladies, you know, psychotic. It's because the body can't process hormones properly. They're out of balance. They're not working the way they're supposed to. So, Dr. Pina, you know, you're a doctor of naturopathic medicine. And so you look at things as a system, as a totality, which is really the way everything should be looked at, instead of just say, well, here, take this bioidentical hormone and we'll get things squared away. What really is the incidence of this in our society in today's women? How many women, is this something that just happens, you know, it happens to my neighbor but doesn't happen to me, or is this something that is, you know, really prevalent?
I think it is pretty high prevalence, and I think everyone kind of, depending on their stressors too and what they're going through, it's going to, the factors that are involved with it and how you treat it has to be evaluated. Because if you look at someone who's a young girl that's probably still in puberty, early 20s, their stressors and their factors and their lifestyle is going to be very different than, say, someone who almost thinks this is part of like a perimenopausal syndrome. And as my period changing, and also the fact that how things have been treated always in the past, you have to treat patients where they are at that moment. So a lot of times when women come in order to get rid of these symptoms, they've been simply put on birth control pills, and now you're treating them in this stimulated state that they don't know what their periods are like if they have these symptoms or anything without being in that medicated state anymore. So if they come off of that, well, where are they now? What's normal and what's abnormal? And, you know, some of this goes with the stigmatism that, you know, even 30, 40, 50 years ago, you know, this stuff wasn't discussed. It really was just kind of held in, and people just kind of did their thing and you didn't really talk about it. And now there's more and more information, but people also tend to kind of hide it under the covers and say, it's got to be this negative thing. I just have to live with it. And so a lot of women out there are just living with symptoms, knowing, okay, in the next 3 or 4 days, I'm just going to have to deal with this. Let me see if I can carry on. And that's affecting them not only physically, but mentally, emotionally, and socially as well, too.
And it can happen mid-cycle. It's not one of these things that 3, 4, 5 days before they actually have their menses. In some women, it's very irregular or stop and start, and we don't know where it's going. But it actually can be mid-cycle where the hormones begin to flux, because you get a surge of estrogen and then you get another surge of progesterone at mid-cycle. But it has to be dealt with properly within the body and the filtering systems that occur. And if it doesn't happen that way, then you end up with all these crazy symptoms. Matter of fact, they've come up with a new term, and it's called PMDD, and it's premenstrual dystrophic disorder, which causes very severe symptoms. A lot of women go into thoughts of even suicide and harming themselves and others, and anxiety reactions that are over the top. And it really has to do with nothing more than flux, if you will, of hormones. In addition to that, women who are on birth control pills end up in a real bad place often, because the body can't handle it. It can't break it down.
Yeah, it's interesting when you look up PMDD or PMS. They will start it as soon as ovulation, mid-cycle, and then sometimes it will go all the way through, and then the symptoms are supposed to just magically disappear once the period started. Like, that's under their definition. Even the PMDD, now they've limited it to that week before they're starting their period, and then it's supposed to stop right away. Well, what if the symptoms that you're experiencing are not completely just related to the hormone changes? It's related to other inflammation, other stress and stuff as well, too. So you have to address those issues as well to see if they can actually bring down or help to change in the way hormones are metabolized, the way there's inflammation in the body, the way what we're processing.
You know, we're looking at a conundrum here, because when it happens, it can happen because of so many different causative reactions. It can be because, you know, we're toxic and the liver is fighting constantly to try to process all the garbage that's in our food systems, in our environment, the things that we're exposed to, and so forth. The other piece that they don't look at is injury patterns. The pituitary, the pineal gland are part of the brain. And if there's been any kind of injury, a young girl playing soccer, butting the ball with their head, getting into a fight with a friend, and just, you know, nothing has to be major, but it suddenly hits their head on the ground or the wall or whatever. All of a sudden, we see huge amounts of shifts in the body, and hormone patterns are one of them. And we don't seem to understand that they're all interrelated, because in our society, we compartmentalize everything. We treat them as a syndrome or a symptom instead of asking the question, why is that? My guest in studio today is Dr. Stephanie Pina, doctor of naturopathic medicine. She's going to be talking about hormonal problems, but particularly premenstrual patterns that can start in the middle of the month. And unfortunately, some women have them constantly because of the things that are going on. We kiddingly said that there's a condition called IMS, or irritable male syndrome, but the truth of it is it does exist. And it's the same type of thing we're talking about right now. It's about the imbalances of hormone and the liver's inability to break them down. This Wednesday evening, coming up at the Rozelle Center for Healing the 14th at 7 p.m. Dr. Stephanie Pina will be your host, and she's going to be talking about this subject, PMS, or premenstrual syndrome, or any of the things that are associated with it. So if you know that you have a hormonal imbalance, things that are not working the way they're supposed to, and you notice that there's a cycle pattern to it, it can, and ladies, whether you're in the beginning stages of your hormonal cycles, you're young, or you're at the place where you're terminating them, and some of you ladies go well into your late 50s and 60s, and you're having these juggernauts, these flows, this is an opportunity to really find out how you can get control over that and make a huge difference. And do yourself a favor. Call the Rozelle Center for Healing, 703-698-7117, 703-698-7117, and tell the staff that you'd like to attend Dr. Stephanie's presentation this Wednesday. And she'll take the time individually to, to talk with you and to really work through this. But there's none better than Dr. Stephanie to really go through this. Dr. Stephanie, let's talk a little bit more about this pattern, because it's quite significant. It's one that can not only cause things like, I can't sleep, I'm awake all the time, I bloat too much, I got cramping, even constipation and diarrhea. All these things are part of the puzzle with that. So if a patient walks in with you and says, I have these situations, I want to kill my husband, other than figuring out whether the guy's okay or not okay, how do you walk through it to really determine, is this a PMS problem or is this something else?
Well, a lot of times, and it's funny that, like, when we had the open house last week and I was talking to some of the patients about this upcoming lecture, I was getting men coming up because they were trying to figure out, should I attend the lecture as well too, because I'm trying to figure out what my daughter's going through or what my wife went through, because a lot of those transitions you will see in perimenopause as well too, those hormonal transitions and the fact that there's stress patterns with it. So when a patient comes in and you're sitting down and having that explanation, in some ways it's easy for them to say, it's just related to my cycle and it's just these 2 or 3 weeks at the end, or about 5 days before my period starts, I start having these issues. And then they go away a little bit later, and then I have to wait another month. And so what's interesting is I know that there's a time set period for it. So we have time in between the cycles to do work. And then unfortunately, and I tell my female patients all the time, if it's cyclical like this, like the menstruation cycle is, you have to wait that next month in order for things to happen. So what if we worked on all the other things that could be creating an issue in those in-between weeks? So really, you have to look at overall health, not just the cycle, to figure out what's going on with someone and how to best treat them and come up with an individualized plan, which doesn't necessarily work in the Western mindset where we say, here's birth control and it's going to regulate and you're going to know exactly when everything happens. And then, we've done a lecture on sweetening the pill before on that. And then literally, it's got sugar pills in it to regulate the cycle. So, all of that has to be taken into consideration, because if you've been under hormonal influences that aren't natural for years and years and years, why would you think that wouldn't affect you when you come off?
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing. We think that, just because the good doctor wrote a prescription and sent you to the pharmacy and they supposedly have a double check situation, doesn't mean that it doesn't have an impugned symptom process that's going to show up at some point or the other. When you start to alter the body's natural capacity to do what it's supposed to be doing, that it was designed to do properly, and you alter that, you got a problem. And it doesn't go away. It continues to perpetuate itself over a period of time. And then we wonder why, as we get down the pile a little bit, it becomes worse and worse and worse. We're coming up to a break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. My guest in studio, Dr. Stephanie Pina. She'll be your host, your presenter, this Wednesday evening at the Rozelle Center for Healing, June the 14th, 7 p.m. She's going to be talking about understanding PMS. And listen, if you have anybody in your family, show up. This is a problem. We'll be right back after some important messages. Don't go away. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We're in studio, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. That's how you find us here. Give us a call. I'd love to talk to you on anything. We're kind of playing around with a topic, and my co-host and guest, Dr. Stephanie Pina, she will be your presenter this Wednesday evening, the 14th, at the Rozelle Center for Healing. What is she going to talk about? Well, we can call it premenstrual syndrome, permanent male syndrome, irritable male syndrome. Why do we pick it on the guys? I mean, it's like, you know.
Because the women get picked on enough. Thank
oh,
you.
Okay. So, guys, you don't get escape on this one. It's, you know, we suffer from the same type of thing. And we were talking, you know, at the break, and the question was, you know, how come guys do this? Do they, you know, is it the same pattern? Well, what it is, it's a cyclic pattern due to gravitational pulls, lunar pulls, and so forth, but also environmental exposures. We're talking about imbalances in hormones that the liver cannot process, really, and that's what it comes down to. And it doesn't trigger the normal pathways. So we're exposed to estrogens all the time. And when women take birth control pills, high levels of estrogen for the most part. And it does things to the body's function, inflammatory areas, it makes people crazy. But in the environment with plastics all around us and petroleum products producing other things, those are estrogenic, if you will. And men are having bigger and bigger problems with this because they can't break it down. And so they're getting problems with hormone function, lowering testosterone and so forth. And we talked a little bit about when testosterone gets too high and people go into rages, they go into anger. So this is not just a female problem.
Oh, no. And, you know, I always bring up the adrenal glands with and stressors because, I mean, that's where some of the hormones are produced as well, too. And what's interesting is when you look at that pattern, it's really interesting how easy it is from estrogen and testosterone to go back and forth and in men and in women. And so when you talk about male issues, a lot of the times, you know, there's actually like a good testosterone and a bad testosterone. And it has to deal with the fact that it's not converting correctly, and that bad testosterone tends to lead to more estrogen, which leads to more male issues. So women who have more estrogen and have, especially if they have increased body weight, that's fat soluble. So guess where it's being stored? And so a lot of the times that influence of not being able to deal with the metabolites of estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, and all the other key factors that go along with it has a lot to do with essentially how we process things, how we detox the body, how we can get inflammation out of the body and helping to regulate a normal cycle that should be something that's normal, that should be fairly regular and shouldn't come along with a lot of other things like painful clots and irregularity, bleeding, and all the other symptoms that come under that 150 symptoms of PMS.
Listen, if you really want to get this piece of the puzzle together and understand what you can do to make it better for yourself, this Wednesday evening, Dr. Stephanie Pina will be presenting at the Results Center for Healing. She's your host, your presenter. Come join us. Find out what you can do to make life better for yourself or other people that are, you know, that you're surrounded by. It's an opportunity to fix things. Call the office 703-698-7117. That's 703-698-7117. Love to have you as our guest. Trust me, you're going to learn a ton. Let's go to the phones. Liz, how can I help you?
Dr. Roselle, my daughter is getting ready to go into middle school, and my son will be going in next year. Their pediatrician is very big on this HPV vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
I am not.
Well, you're talking to the choir, but go ahead. What's the question?
What are your thoughts on the vaccine?
Dr. Pina, you want to step into this or you want me to do it?
Where do we start?
You start first, and then because
I have to say, you know, questioning, you know, all the information behind it is a great thing because the more information that's out there, the better. The more we're informed with any vaccination, you know, childhood vaccines all the way up, you got to look at the facts of what's going on. So when Gardasil originally came out, which was, you know, at least about 10 years ago, you know, there was little evidence on what was going on, the long-term effects. So now that there's been 10 years or so, there's showing more and more issues, but, you know, it doesn't make it to the mainstream media because that wouldn't be economically profitable. But what you're seeing, and even the way that they're marketing it, and I'm assuming this is also to the doctors as well, too, is changing because it used to just be for young teenage girls to help prevent cancer because HPV is a virus. There's different strains of it, and it doesn't cover every single strain of HPV. That's the amazing thing is it covers about 4 strains. And it's supposed to prevent cervical cancer. So if you give this now, then the likelihood of creating cervical cancer later is less and less. Well, the problem is now they're starting to go after boys. And this has probably been the last 2 years, and even their marketing on TV has changed quite a bit, because now they have that great commercial where the boy says, "Mom and Dad, like, couldn't you protect me somehow?"
Yeah, I saw that last night. Go to the emotional heartstrings.
Exactly. There's issues with it, absolutely. There's absolute issues.
Liz, I want you to hold on, because I've got a couple comments to make. This is a deadly situation as far as I'm concerned, so just stay where you are. We have to break for a moment. We'll be right back.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozell here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live in studio. Give us a call, 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. This Wednesday evening, Dr. Stephanie Pina, my guest in studio, your host and presenter. She's going to be talking about premenstrual syndrome. And remember, that can happen from when you start your cycle all the way to the time that you're going into ending the cycle and thereafter, because it's a hormone imbalance. And yes, guys, you are in trouble as well. It's called, you know, permanently male syndrome. That's what it is. But no, seriously, what happens is that all of us have hormonal surges and rages that we can't break down the way we're supposed to, because our livers are so in such a bad situation. We can't filter the way that we were meant to. So if anybody around, if you want to learn how to support each other, this program is essential for you to really get a grip on hormonal patterns. Dr. Stephanie is a doctor of naturopathic medicine, and she'll walk you through the maze. She'll tell you what can be done and what can't be done. I want to finish up answering a question. Liz, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you for holding. I appreciate it. I just want to make a couple comments on it. Obviously, we could spend probably the whole program on this, but you know, 60% of women who received the Gardasil vaccine had a higher risk of being infected with another strain of HPV. So they've increased. The original one, there was about 4 to 5 that they put included in the vaccine. The problem is, there's about 18 that we're aware of. And unvaccinated women, when they've done the data, and this is something that came out just this last year, had a much lower rate than of HPV than non-vaccinated. So you're talking about Merck making a ton of money here. And, you know, most HPV vaccines, you know, do not lead to cancer, but they end up causing the cancer as a predisposition to other things over a period of time. Now, I'm giving you data. This is straight up. This is not Tom Rozell saying this. This is stuff that you can look up and find for yourself. Matter of fact, go to a website, vaxxed.com, V-A-X-X-E-D.com, and you're going to find every bit of information that you never knew that existed on the subject. There's videos. There's a whole documentary there. And, you know, the interesting thing is that Gardasil has been fast-tracked to licensure in the United States. There was very little scientific evidence that proved its safety or effectiveness for any child, let alone the guys that they're trying to, you know, to inoculate. Now, this is big money. And, you know, they're recommended, you know, to the school systems to mandate this, you know, and there's another thing they're taking, you know, this is not, you're not going to have somebody infected just by walking by them or sneezing on them. You know, so why in God's name would you mandate this to a child who's under as young as 12 years old? It's stupidity. So you're getting me on the soapbox, and I beg forgiveness across the board. But this is crazy. But in 2015, at the annual meeting of the American Association of Cancer Research, it showed women who were vaccinated against HPV had a much higher risk of developing non-vaccine strains of the virus. So it's like it opens the door, and it increases your risk of all kinds of things. So, you know, quote Nancy Reagan, just say no. And,
right.
You know, you have
well,
to
see. And what I was going to tell you, Dr. Rozell, is that, number one, my kids have always been vaccinated, you know, for diphtheria, MMR. I've been straight on the board as far as that goes. But as far as the HPV, because I never had it, it just makes me very nervous.
Well, if you go into that website that I told you about, vaxxed.com, you're going to, you know, those of, that have not vaccinated their children are going to take another hard look at that. You know, it's like, you know, my godson who has not been vaccinated, you know, and his girlfriend's parents are upset that he's not been vaccinated against all these things. And he looked at them straight in the eye and said, well, if she's been vaccinated, what's the risk level? I'm the one that's at risk, not her. So understand that process. And the problem is, and look up what the effectiveness is, look up what happens when you are vaccinated, even the flu vaccine. Here, I'm going to touch on this, and then I'm going to have to end. The flu vaccine, you know, they're getting out and saying, you got to do the flu vaccine. Well, the last 2 years in a row, they finally admitted that it didn't work at all the last 2 years because they couldn't match the strain. But then they said before that, that it's 40 to 60% effective. What that means is that it's stimulating the antibody 40 to 60% of the time. So that means that there's 60 to 40% of the people that aren't, they don't even have a stimulation of the antibody. But what they fail to tell you is that only 20 to 40 to 50% of those that got antibody stimulation have enough antibody reaction to protect them against the flu. It's not worth doing. And in many cases, it gives it to them. I hope that helps. I'm sorry I got on soap
opera. It helps me enormously, and I really appreciate it.
Liz, have a wonderful day. Try to stay cool today. Appreciate your phone call. 888-630-9625.
And she's not going to be the only one bringing this up, because as more and more states make this mandatory for boys and girls, that question is going to come up over and over again. And so some of that information is going to start coming out as well, too. So I think it's a very appropriate issue. Apparently, it brought out Dr. Rizal's vaccine PMS syndromes.
Be nice. Symptoms. Be nice. You have to work with me this week. You know, my liver was in Chinese medicine, the liver has an emotion. It's called anger. And I think my liver, I was very liverish at that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, to go on Chinese medicine, I mean, it's called stagnation with it too. Things can't move as well as they want. And there's a lot of stuff with PMS that things can't move, like the hormones are creating blockages that can't move as well too. So when we get blocked, it doesn't allow for good things to happen. We have to move the blocking. So talking about it is one way to move.
So I'll be better for that.
Exactly.
Okay, great. 888-630-9625. Richard, how can I help you, sir? Thank you for calling.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Good. I was told that I had good overall testosterone, but I was low on free testosterone. So they gave me a thing called Androgel to put on my arm. And it turned out after a while it was making my heart condition worse.
Absolutely.
Heard about this. And that now they've got some kind of suit against the manufacturer of Androgel I've been pulled into that's going to trial this week in Chicago. I'm wondering if you know what the risks were.
Well, there's a lot of risk in using any of the testosterone supplementations. Testosterone gel poses some risk to different body systems. The filtration through the liver, as we talked about earlier, is one of those. Symptoms, everything from breast cancer to heart disease and sleep apnea and, increasing the levels of red blood cells, so the blood becomes way too thick. You go into things like headaches, and your libido actually goes away. It goes the other way. You reduce your sperm count. Why? Because there's the old thing, if you don't use it, you lose it. So if you don't produce your own testosterone, or there's no need because they're giving you the testosterone, then your gonads, your testicles, are going to shrink. And because you don't use them, you lose them. They go away. So that you have this whole catch-22 situation. Now, in your situation, you already had testosterone. You weren't converting it. So there's an inflammatory reaction that's going on there that is not allowing to the conversion.
Yeah, and those things are things that you might want to look at: diet, nutrition, inflammation, other things that are going on, instead of just trying to give more hormone. That's where there's an issue, because then you're getting the results of this increased hormone when your body's not deficient to begin with. It's not missing it. So giving more is not exactly the best way to do this. And we see this with women as well, too, with hormone replacement therapy. You're decreasing estrogen and testosterone. Let's give you more estrogen and progesterone, sorry. And then and sometimes testosterone as well, too. So
now they're saying that I have fatty liver tissue and that's causing cirrhosis. Is that related to
Yes, sir. It can be. It can be. It's not necessarily directly related to, but in fact, it can be. And, you need to find out why you're not converting. If you're in pain of any sort because of structural problems, and the pain isn't dealt with, then you don't convert. See, what happens over a period of time, and the second phase of that, if your testosterone level is normal, but you're not converting into free testosterone that's made available, pretty soon your body says, I don't need the testosterone. And it starts knocking your total testosterone down. So, you know, when low testosterone or the lack of conversion, you're going to get all the things that, you know, we're going to get the moody thing. We're going to, you're going to get other pathways not working. You're going to end up with heart problems. You're going to end up with blood sugar handling. You're going to end up with, you know, decreases in energy and sex drive and metabolism. You get fat. You get that spare tire. But you have to find out what the problem is and where it's coming from. So, but that's something that can be dealt with, but you have to have it evaluated properly. If there's a structural problem, it's got to be dealt with. If there's a biochemical problem, there's ways of handling that naturally without resorting to drugs. Richard,
What type of doctor is that?
I'm sorry?
What type of doctor?
Us. Give us a call. Go see Dr. Pina, and she can, you know, direct you into, you know, the places. You're dealing with somebody who wants to deal with functional medicine. You got to be evaluated structurally. You have to look at the energetic platform. You have to look at lifestyle, what's happened over a period of time. Reverse those things, and it can take place. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. My guest in studio, Dr. Stephanie Pina, your host, your presenter, this Wednesday evening at the Rozelle Center for Healing. We're talking about premenstrual syndrome and or permanently male syndrome or irritable male syndrome. I mean, it affects all of us. It's just not women only.
And we have those hormone changes for a reason, those cycles for a reason. Like, that's part of nature. It's part of what we have to embrace. But it shouldn't, one, control our lives. It shouldn't impact us all the time. And when you start to keep things a little bit more in balance, that actually starts to open up. And then you actually can realize you can live a life without that.
It's important that we understand that our bodies are meant to be in balance. And when we're in pain or we're eating things that we shouldn't have, we're getting estrogenics from outside sources, plastics or other things, our body begins to break down. Dr. Pina is going to go through the whole process and show you how to make a difference. You don't need to run off in every case. There's a few that, you know, traditional allopathic intervention may be necessary because, you know, you don't use it, you lose it, and your body shuts down completely, doesn't want to do it anymore. That's a different story, but that's the very small percentage of people, not everybody. Ed, how can I help you, sir? Thank you for calling.
Can soy milk and flax milk cause estrogen imbalance, and can't the hormones be digested and denatured in the stomach?
So what's interesting about soy is when you break soy down, it has what they call isoflavones. So there's chemicals within there that are phytoestrogen-like. And there's actually been studies where people have taken large amounts of soy, and after a two-year period, they've looked at blood levels of estrogens, especially E2 and E3, because there are multiple types of estrogens, and they saw that the levels actually didn't change. So they weren't able to actually increase the soy levels. So it's not like soy equals estrogen. And what you see a lot with the hormone replacement stuff out there is that they're using wild yam or soy-based products as the buffer to get it in, but it's not actually giving you, because they mimic estrogen receptors. In the digestive tract, you're just going to absorb everything, and you're going to break it down into those isoflavones. But really the liver, we're going back to that liver again, it's the thing that's going to start to convert different types of sex hormones. And then also we have to work about what's going on with the adrenal system as well, too, where estrogen, testosterone, progesterone are all based. So a lot of the times you'll actually hear more about soy and the effects that it has on essentially the thyroid as well, too. So the digestion part of this isn't really what's the issue with soy, but then again, no one should really have like an all soy diet all the time.
No, you're asking for trouble at that point, Ed. And what you want to understand is what Dr. Pina just said. It's really how the body handles and breaks things down. Now, we complicate things in Western society because in Asia, there's a lot of soybean and tofu and so forth involved in their diet. But here, our foods are not organic all the time, and they're GMO modified. Unless you get soy tofu, let's take that for an example, that says it's organic GMO, you can assume that in this country it is a GMO product. And that's just the way it is. And they're moving to try to get 100% of that. So, some estrogen in soy, but the pure isoflavones, things that are actually supportive to the body in a certain level, they have similar chemical characteristics, you know, to estrogen, and they can promote cancer growth, but it really has to do with the buffering system in the body, going back and touching them on the adrenal system that Dr. Pina said or talked about a little earlier, those things all have to stay in balance. So it's the yes and no of that. You have to be careful. It shouldn't be a diet that exclusive. I personally would not touch soy milk. It's too concentrated. There's too much there. Do I eat a little tofu periodically? Yes, absolutely. But it's non-GMO and it's organic. And, you know, Sue will make something up with one of my favorite meals is she broils the soy after she marinates it, and she puts it over brown rice, and she puts it over greens. And, you know, that's our vegan night. So anyway, we can help you further. Let us know. 888-630-9625. That's how you find us here. Debbie, thank you for calling. How can we help you?
Hi. I was just wondering if you guys know anything about premature ovarian insufficiency. My daughter was diagnosed with that when she was 25 years old, and it's been kind of devastating.
Okay, let's jump into that. We have about a minute.
Okay. Unfortunately, we need more than a minute for that
one. We'll come back afterwards.
Okay. Okay.
We're going to start, and then we'll come
in back. Well, there are a lot of different causes on there. A lot of times, you know, whether she's working with an OBGYN or she, depending on her age right now, if she's especially looking, you know, this type of diagnosis is really something that gets diagnosed when someone's looking to become pregnant, that's looking to have a family and stuff. So a reproductive endocrinologist may be working with them. They'll be working at some of the hormones, so first you have to analyze that. But unfortunately, there's way more to this puzzle that doesn't get addressed other than putting on someone on hormone replacement and trying to increase follicular egg follicle production.
Debbie, don't go away. We have to take a break, but we're going to come back and we're going to finish up on this topic a little bit. I think it's very important. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Indeed, we've been in studio. You find us here every Sunday, 12 noon at 888-630-9625. And when we're not here, you go to RozelleCare.com. That's RozelleCare.com. Send us a note. This Wednesday evening, Dr. Stephanie Pina is my guest in studio today, your host, your presenter, this Wednesday evening, the 14th, 7 p.m. at the Rozelle Center for Healing. Join us. Come and join our beautiful office, but more importantly, come and listen to one of the brightest that I'm happy to associate with in my practice and always has me on my toes. Give us a call, 703-698-7117. And again, we'd like to thank all of you who listen to us even from the West Coast and overseas and so forth. You're finding us. Our ratings are going through the ceiling. Thank you so very much. Tell your friends about the program and let us know how we can help you and you know, what information you'd like to hear. And don't forget, if you'd like any of the doctors at the Rozelle Center for Healing to come to your churches, your groups, your organizations, we're happy to do that. We work in conjunction with Caring for Others, and we do public service events. All you have to do is call that number at 703-698-7117. Ask for Dareth Painter and tell her that you'd like to set up a talk outside the practice, and we're happy to do that for you. Debbie, you still there?
Yep, I'm still here.
Okay, we're going to make this really quick. So,
okay, that's fine.
Genetic patterns in ovarian failure are a very low level. They're usually a result of other situations taking place, not working, and the body's not communicating, miscommunicating. Does your daughter have a cycle at all?
Not now, and they did do genetic testing, and she doesn't have a chromosome X disorder. She doesn't have any of that.
So the fragile X syndrome doesn't exist for her?
Yeah, no, just everything was fine, normal periods, normal everything until about age 25, and then just stopped.
Was there any accidents, falls, injuries, any car accidents? Did she travel overseas? Did she get any inoculations?
No, she did not.
Okay.
But she is married to someone in the military. Would those inoculations, because he did go overseas, have anything to do with it?
Absolutely. That's why I'm asking the question. Any of these things can shut down, because many of your inoculants, many of your vaccines are hormonally structured. And mm-hmm. if they're going into different areas of the world and so forth, yes, it can cause a problem. Many of our special operations people, many of the guys that are going into areas that you and I wouldn't go into on a good day, end up showing symptoms and syndromes that can only come from those things relative to clinical observation. So what you'd have to find out with her is, you know, the questions that I would ask is, were there any kind of dental work being done? Was there any kind of exposure to vaccines? Was there any kind of exposure to environments that had radiation or any kind of toxic reaction at all?
We also look at stress patterns as well, too, because the cortisol levels that we talk about in the adrenals can actually block some of the hormones. So where she was having a normal cycle before, something had to trigger it. And then also, so some of the work that she's already done will actually give us some of the answers already. So if you want to contact me at the office, just call us there, and I'd be happy to talk a little bit more about this if we can get some more information if she can't get herself in, if she's not local. But, yeah, there's a lot that goes along with this, and we can do a lot of things naturally to kind of help figure that out.
Debbie, thanks for your phone call. We're coming up to the end of the show. Give us a call. We'll give you some more data on it. But if something was there to begin with, there's something that can change to bring it back. Dr. Pina, tell us why and what for and how come everybody should be there this Wednesday evening. We have about 30 seconds.
Well, we're going to go through the cycle, because if you can understand what the heck's going on when it's normally working properly, you're going to have a better idea where we can pick up the pieces and start to balance things out. We're going to go over why some of these symptoms, even though they're associated with negative things and cognitive issues, why we can fix them and how we can do it more naturally compared to some of the options that have been out there before.
You know, seriously, too many of us put up with stuff where it's totally unnecessary. We don't have to. We suppose that the symptoms are part of what happens to people. Well, in our practice, the way we look at things is that's not necessarily the case. Find out what you can do to make a difference in your life. We're coming up to that unfortunate part of the program where we have to say adieu. See you next week, same time, same place. We love you all. Bye.